Cable News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Today on Cable News In Depth, if you made resolutions for this new year, improving your relationships would probably top the list for you. A Portland author has written a book on the four relationships you need to focus on. Her name is Doris Horenstein, and she joins us today. We're lucky to have you here. Welcome, Doris.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Your book is entitled Moments of the Heart. Why is it called that? How'd you come up with that title?
Oh, my gosh. In 2014, my sister was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer. And I was living in America, and she was living all the way in Israel. And I thought to myself, what can I do to help her go through this very difficult period? So every Saturday night, I decided that I will put a short video, a moment or two video, speaking from my heart. And that video's all of the collection, and I've done it for a whole year, and they became really the foundation for this book. So in Hebrew, we called it Rig'ei Lev, Moments of the Heart, the video page, and so it translated so naturally to this book, Moments of the Heart. And you know, the heart is really, it has four chambers, and without each and every one of these chambers, it will not be complete. The heart is the first body part that is fully formed in the fetus stage. Mm. So how beautiful it is for me to speak from that place that is the first form, speaking from my heart, right? We have all these phrases all the time, to speak from your heart is to speak, being authentic, being true to who you are. And so that's why it came to be that name.
Yeah, and you're talking about the four chambers of the heart, but also the four relationships that you're saying everyone has to and needs to live wholeheartedly.
Yes.
So let's go through them one by one. What are the four different relationships?
So the first relationship is, of course, the relationship we have with ourselves. If we are not feeling love toward ourselves, not in a narcissistic way, but in a true, authentic way, if we don't value who we are, if we do not appreciate and respect who we are, how can we do it with other people? So the first foundation relationship is the one that everyone has with themselves. And I think I focus a lot of my talks about that because I think that's really the foundation. The second piece is once we are good with ourselves, it doesn't end there. Now we have to go into the community. And whatever your community is, if it's your church community, your synagogue, your workplace, your family, right? People on the street. So I have the second section in this book is the relationship that we have with other people. The third relationship is the relationship with the source, with the spirit. For some people, it is God. For some other people, it's nature. For some other people, it's just that which is outside of themselves, whatever they call it, whatever they refer to it. And so that's the third relationship. And then the relationship, the fourth one, is what I call the glue that puts it all together. And that's the events in our life that form who we become. So I'm sure when your listeners or you can think of your life and how your life really is the sum of the events that happened to you. From growing up to this day, you are who you are because of what happened to you, right? So each one of us is unique in that way. We don't come with the same way, right? We are different, and that's what makes us unique and special. And every person in this world is needed because there's nobody like them. Ever.
Mm-hmm. You're tapping into some ancient wisdom here that you're bringing with a modern twist to it, though, because I think your work as a Jewish educator, which you spent many years on, really inspired some of this work, didn't it?
Yes, of course. I came to America at the age of 21 in December of 1986 with a suitcase, one suitcase, $600 and no coat to Portland, Oregon.
Oh my goodness. No raincoat even.
No raincoat. Oh my goodness. Back then, my boyfriend, who has become my husband, the next day we went to Nordstrom to get some coat and some gloves for me. I did not value Nordstrom back then. I was like, oh, you know, it's just a store. No, it's the best. Yeah. So then, since then, I thought to myself, what can I do? What will I do in my life? So because I'm close with, you know, with the idea, with the religion of Judaism, I decided to become, to work in the Jewish community. So I worked in day school. And for the last 16 years until July of 2018, I was an education director in a conservative synagogue here in town. Mm-hmm. But then I decided to leave because I knew that unless I leave, this book will not be born. And a few months after I left, I found a publishing company to publish my book. And I have began speaking all across the country about my book and about motivating and inspiring others about relationship from the Jewish lens perspective.
Right.
Yeah. So, but yes, I come from a very deep grounding, which is in Judaism.
Mm-hmm. Now, before that, you had a very interesting life in that you served in the armed forces in Israel. You lived in Israel before your life here in Portland.
Yes.
So tell us about that, and how did your work with the armed services also inspire your writing in this book?
Oh, well, you know, I joined the Israeli military in 1984. I think it is probably the most significant event in my life that formed who I was to become. And the leadership that I was given the opportunity to participate and lead is something I will not replace with anything. I learned so much, not only about myself and about my conscience and what I need to do, but also how to serve my country, which I'm very proud of, and also how to become a leader. And because in this book I use a lot of explanation about the Hebrew language, I use that. So, for example, leadership in Hebrew, the word leadership is manhigut. And it comes and it shares the same root, the same three letters, the same three consonants mm-hmm. as the word to drive or to linhog or a steering wheel, which is hege. So when you look at the idea of leadership and driving and a driving wheel, you say to yourself, where am I going? How am I leading? Which direction am I going? I, of course, go into a lot of details in it in my book, explaining what does it mean to have root-based, because English is not a root-based language, but Hebrew is. So that means that there's three consonants that shares many, many words share that same root. So, for example, the word conscience, compass, and hidden. These are examples that I wrote in the book. These three English words share the same roots in Hebrew. Kivun, kavana, right? And so you say to yourself, what does that, or matzpun, and safun, same letters. And what does that mean? How is your conscience sometimes can be hidden from you, right? And when you know it, your direction becomes revealed. Your compass is known. So I use a lot of Hebrew to highlight concepts that has to do with relationships, either with yourself, with other people. So it gives another layer of understanding. So I'm not just talking about, oh, you know, can we be this or that, but that there is basis from it within Jewish tradition and the Hebrew language.
Mm-hmm. You know, tapping into that tradition and then bringing it up to the present day. What are some of the big mistakes that people are making in their relationships with themselves and with others that you see?
Mm. You know, I think the first thing is the idea of love. I see a lot of people that talk about love, but don't understand the true meaning of love. They think that love is something like goosebumps in your body, and that's how you feel about another person. But when you look at it from the Jewish lens, from the Hebrew language, you understand the word love. And of course, I talk about it in my online courses and in my coaching. But the word love is the idea that one person gives to another. That's actually embedded in the word love. So if we think about that as we deal with other people, if we love them in the way of giving to them, then, and everybody's feeling this way, the world will be so much more loved. There will be so much more love, less war, less disagreement, less fighting when we show that love. But everybody needs to be involved, right? If you only give, but you never get, you feel at some point that your love tank is lacking, right? Mm-hmm. It's missing. But when you keep on giving, at some point you will be receiving too. And that's the true love. So one of the things I see is missing is the concept of love. And through love, under love, there is the respect, right? Again, the word respect in Hebrew comes from the same root as the word heavy. So sometimes respect is heavy. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not easy to respect people, right? We have the Ten Commandments in Judaism. You see, I'm going on. I mean, you give me something and I just go.
You're doing great. Yeah.
So the fifth commandment within the Ten Commandments within Judaism and Christianity is honor your father and mother, mm-hmm. right? It's number five. And the word honor shares the same as the word heavy. Why? Why didn't the fifth commandment was love your father and mother? Why is it respect, honor, heavy? Because sometimes honoring people could be a task. It could be heavy on our shoulder. It could sometimes, take us down. Think of us, some of us, myself included, my parents are getting older. You know, it's not as easy to maybe love, or it's not as easy to honor. There's a lot of obligations. But nonetheless, it says, even if it's heavy on your shoulder, still do that.
You still have to carry it.
Still have to carry it on. Exactly. Yeah. So I highlight all of this and make it in a bite size for people to say, oh, I can do it. And it's not only Jews read this book. Also many Christians and people who are just spiritual or are interested to learning about the Jewish culture or the Hebrew language. And it's a beautiful gift. I'm really happy that it got on the target.com. It was it was on their winter selection book selection for the season. Thank you. I felt so fortunate.
Yeah. What advice would you give to people about doing the right thing? First of all, I'm going to ask you about your connection with your partner, with your significant other, that relationship. What's some things that people can do to improve those relationships?
You know, I wrote this about this in my book, about the book, The Languages of Love, The Five Languages of Love. One of the things I think couples are missing is they think that the way they want to be loved is the way they show love to other people and to their spouse. And I wrote about it in my book. I said, what is your spouse want? Do you have communication? Which, by the way, in my opinion, is one of the top priority when you build a relationship with your significant other, is being able to actually have a conversation and not feel intimidated by any way. You know, to be all authentically you on the table. It's like, I am here. I want to talk to you. And so I think learning to talk in the language that the other person could understand without feeling defensive. And that's hard. That's hard because it sometimes mean that we have to put ourselves in the second row. You know, we're not the front. And so many times in our lives, we want to be the leaders. It's like, oh no, I can do best. Listen to me, follow me. And sometimes it's like, okay, you are there. So giving honor, communicating, and not forgetting a sense of laughter. Mm-hmm. A sense of laughter, even of silly things that you have done. Be able to laugh at your own self, not in a way to put yourself down, but to say, oh my gosh, I did not notice that. I actually have another entry in this book about the power of laughter and how laughter is actually healthy for you. Mm-hmm. You know, it is healthy for the human being to laugh. I sometimes would tell my children when they were growing up, hey, look at yourself in the mirror. And even if you feel sad, make the corner of your mouth go up. When you do that for a long time, it actually makes you feel better. Biologically, it releases endorphins in your body to say, oh, okay, life is going to be okay. So the idea of bringing laughter and building communication and feeling that you are a team with your spouse, you know, you're not one against the other, you're a team. And I'm really happy to say that thank God, my husband and I have been married. Next month, it's going to be 32 years.
Congratulations. Yay.
I can't believe it's been that long.
Yeah.
That's
amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I know you're a mom. You touched on it, you know, with the relationship with your children. That's another relationship that can be heavy at times for parents. So what advice would you give to parents out there about improving their relationship with their kids, having better communication?
The first advice I would give to any parent raising children, and I've raised three children, they are wonderful. One is 28, one is 25, one is 17. And I've told them, and they've discussed it with other people. They said things that I said. For example, number one, A mother is not your friend, is your mother. There is a difference. You can have a million friends out there. You only have one mom and one dad, right? Unless you have stepmothers and stepfathers, right? But you have your parent. And if I wanted to be your friend, I would maybe not sign up to have it being pregnant 9 months, right? Mm-hmm. I am your parent. So that is the idea of division between who I am and who you are. And at some point, we have always been close, but at some point we can be friends. But my role is to be your parent. And I see through my coaching that there's a lot of parents out there that feel that they need to be their kids' friends. Mm-hmm. They feel like, oh, you know, I want them to like me. Well, your kids would like you when there is clear leadership, when there is a clear direction in a loving way, in a supportive way. And I'm my children grown up and moved out, they call me and they said, Mom, I wish more parents would raise their kids like you have raised us. And I said, oh, that is the best compliment I could have get. You know, so
you did something right there.
Thank God, yes.
Yeah. What about your relationships with your workplace coworkers? That's another one that can be difficult for a lot of folks.
For a lot of people. Well, you know, the definition of a team, and I do it in one of my speaking, I said, together, everyone's attribute magnified. Right? So when you are working in a team, and I had the pleasure of working in wonderful teams, and I had the unfortunate experience of working in places when there's not much of a team spirit. And when you work with a colleague, make sure you value them and their contribution to what you are doing. Don't minimize. Number one, never minimize their contribution. And number two, acknowledge that. Acknowledge what they give to the table, not to them only, but in the meeting. I remember being in meetings where I was praised for something that I said, and then there were other times where people ignored me while I was right there. So I've been on both sides, and I know that the definition of the team, the way I put it, the acronym, together, everyone's attribute, are magnified or is magnified, that is important. So what do you bring to the table as a team? And you have to also be responsible for what you bring, right? You can't be sitting there hoping that all the work will be done by the rest of the team, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So the acknowledgement that you have to bring your best self, and then you acknowledge other people for what they bring. And if it is an organization that is oriented with results, show results, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and be respectful of everybody's time. That's another thing. You know, I've been in meetings where my time was not respected. So if a meeting starts on time, let it start on time. I always also talk in my speaking about genuine listening. In a team, you have to be genuinely engaged in listening. And it's different than active listening, because I know that there is active listening and there's exercises about it, being an active listener. I think being genuine is being really caring about what the other person is saying, is to look at them, is not to type on your messages while they're talking, mm-hmm. right? Is to really saying, okay, all devices aside, I'm right here with you.
Mm-hmm. It seems like some world leaders might be able to use some of these ideas to bring peace to the Middle East and some other places. Oh. How do you think that might work?
You know, as you said, leaders need to be genuine listeners and acknowledge the other side. And as an Israeli, I grew up in Israel. I grew up with neighbors that were Muslims, and we went to school together. And there was a mutual understanding and an acceptance. So I think being an Israeli, and I'm very proud Israeli, I would love to see more people acknowledging the Jewish homeland of the Jewish people. We have only one country that is Jewish, only one. And I would love to see it continue to flourish while being open, because it's the only country in the Middle East that is Jewish, the only country in the world. All the other countries surrounding in the Middle East are are Muslim countries. And so I think it is the acknowledgement of the other countries about the state of Israel, and it's not going anywhere. And for them to say, let's make peace so we can progress, so we can build an empire, right? If everybody actually acknowledged other people and their place in this universe, my gosh, it would be amazing.
If people want to learn more about your book and about you and your podcast, what should they do?
Okay, so my website is dorishorenstein.com, DoriseHorenstein. I have online classes that I teach about the Hebrew language. I have modules that people can engage and do Zoom classes, live Zoom classes with me. My podcast is called Moments of the Heart, and I do it twice a week. I put some thought, 10 minutes, so it's really funny and fun and engaging, and you leave thinking good, you're feeling good about yourself, and then you have a gem of thoughts going forward. And of course, Facebook, Moments of the Heart, and LinkedIn, and all those great sources.
Okay, thank you so much for coming in today, Doris. Doris Horenstein is the author of Moments of the Heart. Thanks for listening to KBOO News In Depth, and thank you so much for coming in, Doris.
You're welcome. Thank you, Annette. Thank you.